Tonight I want to bring just a short message from Matthew chapter 14. So if you'd like to open your Bibles, please, Matthew 14 and verse 23. Matthew 14 and verse 23 says this. Speaking about Jesus, all right? And we read here. And when he, Jesus that is, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he got rid of the multitude, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He went up in a mountain apart to pray. We're talking about prayer tonight, eh? It's a prayer meeting. So he went up in a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, as the sun was setting, okay, he was there alone. And now if you'd like to turn with me, please, to Matthew, just go back a few chapters, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. And now this is Jesus speaking this time. It says, Matthew 6 and verse 6 says, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Openly. Okay? Let's pray. Offer the service to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open your word and discuss these things, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us a Bible. You gave us a written word, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you promised that you would preserve your word forever, Lord, and that you make it available for us to read. And we thank you, Lord, that we can have it in our hand and read it and understand what it is that you want to say to us, Lord. We just thank you for giving us the Bible, Lord. Thank you for the blessing of being able to read it, to hold your word in our hands, Lord, and read it. And I just pray, Lord, tonight as we discuss these couple of little verses out of your scripture, Lord, that you'd open our hearts, Lord, to receive what it is you want to say to us about these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, my purpose for bringing these couple of short scriptures to our attention tonight is to help us to recognise a serious problem that exists in our present day. I'm always talking about problems, eh? Well, there's problems everywhere. A lot of people don't seem to see them. But anyhow, a huge deception is taking place in society generally, and also in the professing church. There's lots of problems, all right? And we need to be aware of them. People say, oh, why don't you just preach on something nice, you know? Well, these things are in the Word of God. These things are in the Word of God, and we need to know about them. Okay, Matthew 14, we see that Jesus has separated himself from the multitudes. He's separated himself away from all their demands, all their noise and their distractions, and went up into the mountain alone to pray. In Matthew 6, Jesus instructs us, when you pray, enter into your closet. He also tells us to shut the door. Amen? He is encouraging us to come aside and separate ourselves from all the demands, noise and distractions of all that takes place around us during our normal daily lives. Jesus says when we pray, find a place where we can isolate ourselves from other people and from noise and distraction. I can get distracted when I'm praying, even when there's no distraction. We don't need distraction to distract us, my friends. We can get distracted very easy. The devil can come along and distract us with nothing and just get our mind going off somewhere with talking words, but it's not in our head, you see. So we need to be careful about all these distractions that come and want to cause us to just pray vanity. When reading Matthew 6:6 in context, we see that the Lord is delivering a rebuke about the hypocrites who love to make long and eloquent prayers in public places for the sole purpose of being heard and noticed by men. Jesus was speaking about the Pharisees who did things only to be seen, recognised and approved by men. I've seen people like that too. Today, 2,000 years later, the Pharisees are still around. I've seen people that pray, wonderful, big, eloquent prayers, but you know they're not praying from their heart and they're not praying to God. They're praying for us to hear them, okay? Anyhow, there's a principle here in these two short scriptures. Although it's in context for the Pharisees, there's a principle here in these two short scriptures that I believe we need to heed. As we move further and further into the disorder and distraction of the last days, there comes a time in our relationship with the Lord when we need to be alone in a solitary place where we can dismiss the multitude of our distractions, a place where we can shut out the affairs of our daily lives, where we can bring all our cares and thoughts into subjection and get our hearts and minds away from the world and its diversions, a place where we can quietly and peacefully seek the face of the Lord. What is the serious problem that I've observed taking place? What is this deception I've noticed that is taking place in society and also in the professing churches? Noise. 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 That's what I've noticed. Noise. Unending, distracting noise. Noise that fills our minds and interrupts any clear, analytical and purposeful thinking we might attempt. We are currently being bombarded from all quarters with unending and unnatural noise. We are surrounded by and subjected to noise of a type and quality that God never, ever intended us to have to tolerate. I mean that. Our society is not God's perfect will, my friends. If you have been here for any of my messages on the 1940s, the fig tree generation, if you've been present for any of them, you would know by now that there is someone behind all the noise that we are being expected to accept as normal in these last perilous days. There's someone behind it all. There's someone who has an agenda to prevent as many unsaved people as possible from hearing the clear message of the gospel. Someone who has a program to divert and deaden the minds of the masses with anything that will prevent them from hearing truth, especially truth about themselves. There's someone who has an agenda to prevent born-again Christians also from clearly hearing the voice of the great shepherd who said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." This somebody doesn't want us to hear our shepherd saying that. Who is that? Who is this that's behind this all this distracting noise? The Bible speaks in Revelation 12:9 about the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. There are many other scriptures that tell us that Satan is the master of deception, that in all ages he has used various strategies to deceive men and women, and he has been the cause of the physical and spiritual death of a multitude. His work has always been to steal, to kill, and to destroy, the Bible tells us, and he has not given up in our time, my friends. He's not stopped. In fact, the Bible warns that as his day grows short, his activity will increase. What was true about Satan and his works in times past becomes even more so as we approach the end of the age. He gets into gear. I reckon that if God warns us in his word that one of Satan's claims to fame is that he deceives the whole world, then we, as Bible-believing Christians, should heed that warning and believe that Satan really does deceive the whole world. Quite distressingly, from my observations, I have seen that many Christians are very blasé about Satan and the subject of deception. They carry on their lives as though these scriptures of warning don't even exist. As well as that, they carry on as though the devil himself is a result of somebody's vivid imagination. It becomes a difficult task, listen, it becomes a difficult task to try and convince the unsaved that the devil is deceiving them, especially when we have professing Christians who dismiss the warnings of Scripture as fanciful myths or fairy tales. A lot of the churches today say that the devil's not real. It's just myths, fables, analogies, etc. In Revelation 12:12, it tells us, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time." The devil, knowing his time is short, is having a last fling at deceiving the world. The situation we now see with people being completely distracted and preoccupied with noise is simply one of the ways that he's succeeding achieving his goal. My purpose tonight is to bring our attention to the fact that unnatural and distracting noise now permeates our society and even the churches to such a degree that it very nearly prohibits any possibility of a person hearing the voice of God and then being able to rationally evaluate what his voice is saying. Remember, I preached a series of messages on the voice of God's word, eh? Remember? About 3 years ago, I preached a series of messages on that. The voice of God's word. There's a scripture that says that God's word's got a voice. We need to be able to hear it. We need to be able to hear it. It matters little wherever you go in the community. This generation is inundated with persistent, loud noise, most commonly, but not always, in the form of rock music. The noise of contemporary society is killing its very soul. Like for the great mass of society, is now life for the great mass of society is now an electronic confusion where no silent space is wasted. We rush from place to place, from work to home to work, radios and MP3 players filling in silent gaps. Any brief moment of inactivity in our contemporary society, particularly for the young — there's no young people here tonight. Wish there was. Well, we can talk to them any other time, eh? We can talk to them. Especially, any moment of inactivity in our contemporary society is simply an opportunity to grab for the mobile phone, or waste time fantasising with computer games, or updating Facebook, or watching TV, videos and DVDs, or having amplified music blaring forth. Many young people today even go to sleep with worldly rock music playing in their ears. You know what? I know it's hard for younger people. Jeff, you're my age group, all right? Jeff's my age group. He's a little bit younger than me, but he's nearly there. He'd remember the time when we didn't have any noise. We didn't have radios and TVs and computers and all these MP3 players. There was no noise. And even if you walked into, well, there was no supermarkets. If you walked into the general store, they didn't have radios playing and music blaring forth. They didn't have all that. This is a new thing. All this noise is a new thing. Anyhow, the principles contained in our two scriptures are not only relevant to Christians, but also to the unsaved. The unsaved are not going to read the Bible, but these things apply to them. They're not going to read the Bible, but this applies to them. The unsaved need to experience time of quiet and solitude. They need the time and the proper environment in which to think about such things as, where did I come from, why am I here, and where am I going? In my opinion, most people are deafened to their spiritual selves. People literally cannot hear themselves think. Their sensitivity to things spiritual has been squashed under the onslaught of noise, of ceaseless activity and so-called entertainment. Jesus tells us in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." That's in Revelation 3:20. In context, Jesus was speaking to the Laodicean church, which was a real church at the beginning of the church age. But the Laodicean church is also a type of church in the last days. Its appalling condition, if you read about it, is symbolic of the church era we now live in. Pastor James has preached on all the churches in the Revelation series. The Laodicean church is us. Is us. Most of the professing churches in the world today have Jesus standing on their... We were talking about that on Sunday, eh? We mentioned it. You brought it up. Most of the professing churches in the world today have Jesus standing on the outside, knocking to come in. But the people inside the so-called church building can't hear Jesus knocking for all the racket coming from the rock and roll band and other distracting entertainment. They can't hear Jesus knocking. They can't. They wouldn't hear him. But the same applies to our lost contemporary society, to the unsaved. It is clear to me that most unsaved people would not be able to hear Jesus knocking on their door, let alone hear his voice. They wouldn't be able to hear it. Sadly, there just isn't any quiet space where Jesus can really be noticed. And it's tough for us as we go witnessing in the world. It's tough for us. People don't hear Jesus knocking. Perhaps we need, when you go knocking on the doors, Deidre, I'll guarantee you when they've finished talking to you, they go back inside and there's noise. And what you've said to them, robbed out of their head. Robbed out of their head. Perhaps we need to ask the important question, particularly if we are Christians and we are being tricked into joining in with all the commotion. Is Jesus going to shout above all the noise to get our attention? Is Jesus going to shout? Is he going to shout? Jesus said he knocks, and if any man hears his voice, he will come in. What happens to those people who are so engrossed in their noise and entertainment that they fail to hear Jesus, whose voice is drowned out by all the commotion? What happens? In 1 Kings 19:12, don't worry about turning there, you know the story. 1 Kings 19 and verse 12, we find Elijah straining to hear the voice of the Lord's voice in the strong wind, in the earthquake, and in the fire. But after all these scenes of excessive noise and activity had passed on by, and there was only silence, the Lord came to him with a still, small voice. You know the story? A still, small voice. Are we making sure that we are going to be able to hear the still, small voice of the Lord? That's for us. Are we conducting our lives in such a manner that if the Lord speaks, we will be able to hear him? Sad to say, the bulk of contemporary society, especially the young, would not be able to hear God even if he did shout. As I've already said, I don't for a moment believe that God ever intended mankind to be surrounded by such confusion and pandemonium. God intended for our minds to be clear of such distractions so that we can think upon him. For the unsaved, there is a crisis of gigantic proportions. They have surrounded themselves with noise and activity to such a degree that there is little chance of them hearing the voice of the Lord. This crisis passes on to us in our task of taking the truth of the gospel to them. The youth of contemporary society, including most of Christendom, are now addicted to electronically amplified percussive music. And they can't tolerate silence. They can't tolerate it. They're scared of silence. For us Christians, our opening scripture in Matthew chapter 6 and 14 demonstrates that there are times when we need to separate ourselves from the onslaught of noise and distraction. We desperately need to get away from all that would compete for our favour and attention. Shut the door and get alone in some quiet place, where perhaps, just perhaps, we might actually be able to discern the still small voice of the Lord. In Matthew 14:23, our opening scripture tonight, we read about Jesus, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He was there alone. My encouragement for each of us here tonight would be, I'm going to close, that we emulate the example set for us by the Lord Jesus himself. He's our example that we should seek to follow. Amen. When we pray, let's find a quiet mountain or a secluded place where we can shut out the crowd and all of the distractions, a place where we can be alone to incline our ears to hear the still small voice of the Lord and listen for what he might want to say to us.